What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. We've got Scott Jagow in from the KMOX newsroom. You know Scott on Sunday mornings. He roams St. Louis. He always has three good things for us. And he has a chat with Stu Mack, and he's here to tell us about all of those things. Scott, first of all, I know you, let's start here. You visited the Holocaust Museum recently.
Yeah, it's fairly new. I didn't realize there was a Holocaust Museum in St. Louis. It opened a couple years ago. There was another one, and this is brand new. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, first of all. It's very moving. It's the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Holocaust Museum. It's kind of in Maryland Heights adjacent area. But the building is gorgeous, and I went through the tour, saw the exhibits. You know, I didn't spend the time that you really need to mm-hmm. spend because we had to do an interview, but I'll go back because I was moved by it and I was emotional. At the end of the exhibits, they have a little area where you can, you know, get some tissues, and I certainly needed them, you know, especially thinking of what's been happening here lately in Clayton and around the country, anti-Semitism. And it's just, you know, the education part of this is very important. And the lens through which they do these exhibits is St. Louis survivors. Mm. There are more than 900 people who survived the Holocaust and came to St. Louis. In fact, they have a suitcase from one of the people. I think his name was Leon Wolf or Leo Wolf. And the suitcase says St. Louis, Missouri. And he didn't spell Missouri right because he didn't know where the heck he was going, really.
Wow.
But it's very, you know, and all there's the names of every single survivor that they know about on this wall. And there's pictures and there's audio. I played a little clip this morning, audio of a story of two 10-year-olds who were caught up in this. One of them was told to kill the other one with a dagger. And the kid saw blood when he, you know, went to the other kid and he ran away. And you can hear the actual story from him. It was just, it's very heavy, but educational, and I really enjoyed going there.
It's a place people should visit.
Absolutely.
At least once you should go.
Yeah, really important, like you said, too. In light of everything that's going on, I mean, it was not that long ago. And it was, you know, this modern, educated country of Germany, right, where all of this happened, these atrocities and these horrors that are beyond comprehension, not that long ago. I mean, and to bring up, that's why, like, on October 7th, there were Holocaust survivors who survived the Holocaust and were killed on October 7th.
Mm-hmm. Two things I took away from the exhibits. One is that, you know, the people that were in the Holocaust, they have this, I forgot to mention this morning, but there's an exhibit about a dressmaker, and they have the dresses replicated, and it's a separate section. It kind of just shows you that all these people had their own dreams and talents, and they were just like us. Mm. And that's kind of the message that they're trying to send. And the other one is the bystanders. There's a section about who's in your circle, and the idea is, who would you, you know, die for, basically? Mm-hmm. Who are you most loyal to? And, you know, it's obvious people, but as you get farther out in the circle, you're not going to be as loyal or concerned about them. And that's kind of the bystander effect, because people are worried about themselves and their immediate family members and friends. So, you know, this is not to shame people that stood by. It's just to remind people that it is possible to do that because you have other concerns.
The waiting area at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., because you get tickets and a timed entry, so it's not too crowded, right? You want to be respectful and want to have your space. So there's a waiting area, and the whole waiting area is an exhibit on complicity.
Mm-hmm. I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Berlin.
Interesting.
The one there it's astonishing. They have this room. It's like a vault almost. It's a pyramid-like room that's completely dark and silent. The door is so heavy, it shuts out all sound and all light except a pin of light that's up high, and it comes in and it bounces off the wall, just a tiny pin. And no one says anything in there. The whole idea is just to reflect. Just take a moment and reflect. And that is part of the mission of the Holocaust Museum here, is just take some moments to reflect on what happened so we don't ever have to go through something like that again. And just to hear the stories of people from St. Louis and their survivor tales.
Scott Jagow, Rome, St. Louis. You can hear about that on Sunday morning. And it's not the only thing that you've done, Scott. You've got, we always talk about your chats with Stu Mack and, Three Good Things and everything that you do on Sunday morning. By the way, what the times again for people to listen in?
Well, the show goes from 6:30 to 9:30 on Sunday morning.
Yep.
Roaming St. Louis, I do in two parts, so it's 8:20 and 9:20 for that.
So let's talk about your discussion with Stu Mack.
Oh, yeah.
And I found something out today that Stu may have gone a bit of time before he visited the dentist.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
so,
it's not.
The best part about our chats, we don't do any preparation. I mean, Stu does a little bit sometimes. He'll just make notes. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what he was going to talk about. That's kind of the joy of it. He said, we're going to talk about teeth. And I'm like, teeth? Why? And then he said, well, I went to the dentist this week and I hadn't been in a while. And he said, guess how long it's been since I've been to the dentist? And I was like, 7 years.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
12 years.
Longer.
What?
15.
He hadn't been to the dentist in 15 years?
And the last time he went to the dentist, he was in Bolivia. He went to a...
Bolivian dentist?
What are you implying, Scott?
He's married to a Bolivian woman, yeah. A. B, they
the
were...
The dentist, ironically enough.
Right after they got married, they went down there and visited family. And she's like, healthcare is really cheap down here. Let's go to the dentist. She's very big on taking care of her teeth. Obviously, Stu is not.
One of the qualities that drew him to her.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so he said, of course, I couldn't understand a word the dentist was saying because he was speaking Spanish. And then he said, this week I went to the dentist and I couldn't understand a word the dentist was saying, even though they were speaking English, because he was like, I don't know, with the canines and molars and wisdom teeth and teeth 6504. We got to do this and that. And he's just like, I don't understand what they're saying.
In Stuart's defense. When they like tap on your teeth and your gums and rate, and I don't know what it is, but they're like D4, 7,
yeah,
1A, B2. I'm like, what
I've
are
never
you
gotten
doing?
That before.
What?
No. I don't get
because
the number
they,
count
it's
out.
It's like how receded your gums are, and you know, or how I don't know your gum health, but they tap on the tooth or whatever it is, and then they tell the dental hygienist 4-2. 7-1.
I've never gotten this treatment. That's a new thing for me. Am I getting cheated
what
when I go to the dentist?
What if your gums are receding and
like
you don't
fun?
Know?
No.
Huh.
One of my huge fears is gum disease because I'm afraid of gums receding.
Well, there's a lot of, gum disease leads because of the bacteria. Yeah. It gets into your bloodstream, and then it causes problems for your heart.
So for your heart, that's very important. You got to brush your teeth, make sure that you have good tooth health because of your heart.
Around COVID, it had been a long time since I'd been to the dentist, like longer than 5 years. It was a long time.
Yeah.
And I was afraid because I heard the story of this guy that hadn't been to the dentist in a long time, and they like were scraping the plaque, but then your gums bleed, but then the plaque got in his bloodstream, and he died in the dentist chair. And
what?
I thought that was going to happen to me.
Okay.
That's what.
How old was it? How old was it when this happened?
It was a few years ago.
How old was he?
I don't know. 40. I don't know.
What?
I mean, it doesn't matter how old he was. He didn't die of old age.
Well, maybe he did.
Chair. No, he died of plaque.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I promise.
Did they do? Plaque. Did they do an autopsy and they figured out that's what it was?
Yes, it was in the.
Not the plague.
News.
Plaque.
Plaque, yeah.
I just want to make sure it's clear.
Plaque. He died of the plaque. No, but it's true. It got into his bloodstream. And I'm terrified of gum disease. It's very frightening. Inflamed gums.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
PSA. I was going to lighten the mood a little bit and say that I actually asked a dental hygienist, Jenis, to marry me.
Oh.
Right out of the sedation when I got my wisdom teeth taken out. I just woke up and I said, will you marry me?
What'd she say?
What do you think she said?
She's maybe?
Like, hey,
she said, let me think about it.
Kid.
Oh, you were 17.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I don't know you, first of all. Although you have, I should have said, well, you had your hands in my mouth, so.
She has her hands in everybody's mouth. She's kind of like that.
You know, when you say it like that, Scott, it sounds rather unsavory.
Well, she had her fingers in my mouth. I met this lady, she put her fingers in my mouth. Like, oh, are you dating? No, she's my dentist.
Hygienist. What did I call it?
I don't know.
Hygienist. I called it a dental hygienist.
You're going to love this one, Amy.
Okay.
Not only, go ahead,
oh,
Scott.
I just wanted to say that the other thing that happened for, well, he went to the dentist.
This is what I was about to get into.
Okay.
Scott Jagow. Listen to what Scott Jagow did. He got a pedicure.
The first time I've ever had a pedicure.
And?
And it is not fun. It's
what?
Not like, oh, day at the spa. It's no. It hurts.
It's unpleasant.
Oh my gosh,
they
men
dig in your
are
nails
such
and stuff,
babies.
And they scrape. Yeah, no, I am a baby.
I shouldn't disparage all men, but I will.
But
babies, a pedicure is the best thing in the whole world.
It
I
does
get a
make
pedicure
your feet
every day.
Look and feel better. I'll grant you that. And I was just, but she got under the nail and I actually bled.
Which, is that supposed to happen?
Geez, that hurt.
Supposed to happen.
And she
did she say oops?
No, she just made fun of me.
You know? Oh, you're bleeding, you big baby?
Did she ask if
she's
you have a girlfriend?
A Vietnamese woman. Well, my girlfriend was sitting next to me.
Okay, because
Well, of course, that's why he went. You know he didn't just go on his own.
I don't know that. Exactly. He's roaming St. Louis.
Yeah, but he's
maybe
not
he was
doing that.
Roaming.
So, he goes every couple weeks.
Did they ask if you wanted paint, nail polish?
You know what happened?
Yeah.
It's funny. They walked, she was joking. She said, what color you want? And I said, clear.
Clear?
And she started when they
clear
at the end. She put clear, stuff on. What do you call it?
Did you not know there's not clear polish?
Well, I did, but I didn't expect that question. First of all,
how do they
I
look?
Wasn't
how do
planning
they look?
To put nail polish on.
He panicked. Pensacola Jones.
Scott, how do they look?
I should have got colored. I mean, I should have got like blue or something.
So I had a buddy who would go with his girlfriend every time she went, and he would get painted, and he would do it. He would coincide with the season. So bear season, he would get blue and orange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then you know,
okay,
no, baseball season.
You could get a Bills pedicure.
I could get a Bills pedicure.
You get blue and red.
How do your toes look? Do you have nice feet?
They look a lot better.
That's good.
They were. I mean, I would you know just admit that they weren't in such great
take
shape.
Take your shoes
before.
Off. Let's get a look.
We're not doing that.
Let's get a look, Scott.
No, that's okay.
I mean, you paid for them. Why wouldn't you?
No.
See, this is where, like, doesn't he kind of always kind of flirt with harassment? You feel a little harassed?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
He's in here talking about his toes
at work.
You brought your, what do you mean? You brought up your feet.
You know what? Now that they look nice, I know a way you can supplement your pay.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott. Isn't there like OnlyFans for feet?
Is it foot fetish? I knew where we were going.
Yeah, feet pics.
People will pay you good money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To do what?
Just take pictures of your feet and send it to them?
Yeah, like, what's his name? What was the coach for the Jets? Ryan.
Oh, Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan.
He was a feet
coach
guy?
Of the Bills,
no, he was
by the
into
way.
Feet.
He
really likes feet.
He has a foot fetish.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Which I don't understand. I hate feet. I don't like to look at other feet. I don't want them around me.
Men shouldn't let their toes show at work.
Except for Scott, because he just had a pedicure.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of CEOs get pedicures and manicures. It's very important.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of CEOs get manicures.
CEOs?
Yeah. Like, you know, people who run companies.
Where did you get that stat from? Where did you get that idea from?
Well, it's purely anecdotal from a lot of CEOs, but also I think it is a thing. I think
it's
known.
Because when you're having a business meeting, the first thing you do is take off. First thing you do is take off your shoes and socks. You come into the boardroom.
You put your peepers. What are they called? They're not peepers. What are they called?
Definitely not peepers.
Peepers are your eyes.
Peepers?
What?
Are peepers your eyes or your toes?
Those are your eyes.
Google that, Ron.
Yeah. What the hell? No, you Google it.
I'm going to Google what are your peepers.
Would you do us a favor? Would you tweet out a photo of your toes?
Really?
Yeah, so that we can send it out to everybody. Let's do a Twitter poll on Scott's feet.
Like, and
we'll see if we'll see if it's money well spent.
The first like is Rex Ryan.
He's probably scouring. Colonel Ripper says they're called piggies.
Piggies, that's what
you mean.
Peepers are your eyes,
All right.
No, but I mean, you want your hands. I promise it's a thing that CEOs, male and female, get manicures. It's very important. I know a lot of guys that would get manicures.
Is that like presentation?
Yeah. You want to look clean. You don't want to look unkempt. Yeah. What if you ran a company and you had grime under your nails? Makes you wonder what you're doing over there.
Does it?
Okay. Scott Jagow. He's got three good things. Scott's got 10 good things, actually, because he got a pedicure. Three good things.
Please say that this weekend.
Roaming St. Louis. Chat with Stu Mack. It's all Sunday morning. Hey, you know what's going on right this second as we speak, Scott?
What?
Bears and Bills joint practice today.
When is the game?
Are they cooperating?
Well, no, there's just a joint practice that they practice against each other.
A preseason game. I'm pretty sure they do.
They might.
It's either tonight or tomorrow. I don't remember.
You know what?
Yes, you're right. It's Sunday. It's Sunday night.
Okay.
Bears Sunday Bills. Night. All right. So they got practice today.
All right.
Did you know that that's another name for chiropractic care?
What?
Joint practice.
Okay. All right. Have a great weekend, Scott. Hey, Sunday morning.
You too.
We will be listening in to Scott Jagow. It's 104.1 FM KMOX. So,
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Oh, a couple of days ago, Amy, we talked to a reporter about the... It was a reporter. It was a wellness person. It's escaping me her name. Mm-hmm. I'm just now thinking of this. And
from CNN. She's the health and wellness reporter for CNN.
Yeah. Lamont was her name. Sandy Lamont. And Sandy was talking to us about, obviously, you know, things that you could do to curb early onset Alzheimer's and that sort of thing. And I mentioned a coffee study that she had written about maybe a week or so ago. And that study said that 3 cups of coffee, black coffee, every day can help curb the likelihood of stroke, diabetes, all these things, right? All these different ailments. Heart attack, heart disease, that kind of thing. And so she said, it's got to be black coffee. You know, it's got to be black, nothing in it. And so I was thinking about this, like, all right, we always have these studies that say one thing. One day it's going to be, but black coffee or, you know, coffee's bad for you. Too much caffeine. That's bad. Another study says, actually, it's kind of good for you in moderation. And there's a third study that says you should have 3 cups a day. Right. So it's always going to be different. But my question is, if you have 3 cups of black coffee in the morning, and because she said just black, does that mean if I have a glass of milk later, does it offset the good effects of the coffee? Do you know what I'm saying here? So, because if you have milk in your coffee, she's saying that's not good. All right. So coffee's good.
Implying it. Because when you say just black coffee, you're implying that you could take it as, well, what she's trying to let people know is that these fancy Starbucks lattes and frappuccinos don't count.
It's the sugar in the milk.
It's the sugar in the milk. But I have a hard time believing that 3 cups of black coffee is beneficial. But if you add 2 tablespoons of half and half, suddenly all of the health benefits...
That's what I'm wondering.
...are canceled out.
That's exactly what I'm wondering.
And then, like you said, what if you drink the black coffee black, but you also drink milk at the same time?
What if I have black coffee and then afterwards I have a shot of half
milk
and half?
Yeah.
Because... Don't people have shots of half and half just to start their day?
I don't know anyone who doesn't. No, I mean, right. And that's why, I don't know. I have an issue with all of these studies that keep coming out. And even...
Well, I you know what?
You
I
know
think
what I mean?
That
How to go back where eggs are good, eggs are bad. Eggs are good if they're over easy. Eggs are bad if they're boiled.
Only egg whites.
Actually, you need the yolks. Now you need 3 eggs. Actually, you need 1 whole egg and 2 egg whites. And all of these studies just getting pumped out where I think some of these so-called studies, first of all, who in the world is funding these? Second of all, the only reason we're hearing about them is with 24-hour news where you got to constantly pump out headlines, they are in the dregs. They are scraping the bottom of the barrel to get news stories 24/7.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I do believe... that there is a benefit to continually studying things and get as much data as you possibly can so we know, so that we can get a better idea of what's healthy and what's not. My guess is when she says, we're talking just black coffee here, you're right. She's saying, don't get the caramel macchiato because it's got, you know, like 50 grams of sugar. That's terrible for you. It tastes great, but that's what's bad for you, right? It's not, it's... So I think the message is you could do stuff in moderation with the milk or with the half and half or whatever, but your whole drink can't just be milk and caramel and sugar, because that's when it becomes not coffee and the benefits of it are just completely wiped.
No, for sure. And I would even say processed creamers like Coffee Mate, I don't think it's good for you. I mean, I've had it and it like will mess up my gut right away. I think it is much healthier to have good old fashioned half and half, just or just milk. And put that in your coffee versus a lot of sugar or these processed gelatinous Coffee Mate artificial creamers. I don't think those are good for you.
No, absolutely not.
So here's a study what I mean that I feel is unnecessary. A new study indicates that certain fast food items are indeed unhealthy. The study analyzed 24 major fast food chains and found that Five Guys Cheeseburger and Fries, as well as Popeye's Chicken Sandwich Classic, scored high on the unhealthy scale due to high levels of fat, sodium, and unhealthy components. I mean, I could have told you that without a study. I think pretty much everyone could have.
Well, I think we do know. But I think it's still it's still good to have the studies. It's still good.
But how do you feel about the studies that contradict each other every 2 years?
I don't care.
Because even Debbie, because who reports on the study, said, oh my gosh, now eggs are bad for you. Now they're good for you.
The more you do, the better understanding we're going to have eventually on all this stuff. So I think we should continue to study them. By the way, Texter says you were asking about toes, the nicknames toes. Were you thinking Tootsies?
I think so. I was.
Texter says it's Tootsies.
Yeah, because I knew there was an old-timey word, and I pictured a CEO popping his peepers on the table, and I didn't, and I was like, well, it's not peepers, because that would be eyes. It's maybe, oh, here's the CEO popping his tootsies
on the table.
I don't think you should pop your tootsies on the table, honestly.
Another texter says pitties. I have never heard that for toes.
I think he's playing you. What if he just got you to say a bad word?
Also, when we were having the conversation with Scott Jagow about what color he had his toes painted, and they asked him what color he wanted, and he froze. A texter says he panicked on the color, surprised he didn't say Pensacola Jones.
I know, Pensacola Jones. I will say this. One time we had a Secret Santa at work, at Fleet Feet, and I had Chuck. Chuck was the guy that I had to buy for, and you had to fill out a form about yourself, you know, and it's like, what's your favorite color? And he wrote clear.
I actually love that answer.
Favorite color is clear.
Translucent. That's mine. You got anything in translucent? Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Ranji. When we come back, we are going to talk to Dale Schilly, the Academy Director and Broadcaster for Y98 for City SC. They will play the Chicago Fire tomorrow. We talk to Dale next on KMOX.
And we're losing. Reindeers one across the center line. Goes right side of the box. Klaus, right foot. He shoots and scores! Now that's St. Louis City soccer, baby!
I love that one. Joey Zanaboni on the call. City SC will play tomorrow against the Chicago Fire. And to talk about that with us and the state of the team, we have with us Dale Schilly, who is the City Academy Director, and you can hear him along with Joey on the broadcasts on Y98, our sister station. What's up, Dale Schilly?
Good morning, and it's good to hear Joe make a call like that.
I know, because it's been a little thin this year in terms of scoring.
It has been a little thin, and it's good to hear Joe belt out one of his city leads or a goal like that. So, yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, the goal differential for City this year is minus 14. Galaxy is really bad. The Galaxy is under 24, so that's pretty terrible. So
yeah.
You're just looking
at... Thanks for putting my feet back on the ground.
Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome.
hey, quick.
Well, listen, you're playing the Fire tomorrow. They're, you know,
well,
you could beat them.
Hey, what did happen with the Galaxy? Because wasn't the Galaxy, they got the first one of the first real bouts of attention with David Beckham.
Or was that FC? No, it was Galaxy, right?
That was Galaxy, yeah.
And so how do they draw there, the Galaxy? Are the fans into it? Is it, we've got other things to do in this city in L.A.?
It's like a lot of cities. It's if they're winning, the fans are, you know, supporting the team. They do have a loyal supporters group that are there. And, you know, about 2 years ago, they had some issues, not internally with the club, but with the supporters and the team. The team, you know, brought in some players, brought in some talent. Last year, they won the league, as a matter of fact. And then they had a couple of injuries. Their top players, a guy named Ricky Puig, and Ricky, Spanish guy, injured his knee, had an ACL tear surgery, and missed the whole season this year. And he's been one of the reasons why they've had such a down year, and they lost some players. So that's a team that won the league a year ago and are at the bottom of, you know, the points totals this year, just 1 year later.
Wait, did you say they have two Rickies?
No, just one.
Just one Ricky. Ricky Puig. Yeah, okay. All right. Because they have Ricky and then they have another Ricky. Okay. Because I was going to say, you can't have more than one Ricky on your team.
No, you can't have more than one.
What's the stadium that you travel to throughout the league? And again, this is a lot of this is about how good the team is. I recognize that. But what is an environment that is not really fun to play in because the crowd is so into it?
Yeah, I would say it's fun to play in because the crowd is so into it, rather than not fun,
sure,
would be Portland. Portland is an old baseball stadium that they've renovated into a soccer stadium, like a minor league baseball stadium years and years, decades ago. And it's two or three tiers high, and behind one goal they have like the horseshoe shape of an outfield, and it's where their supporters sit, and they're loud and strong, and they're singing the whole game. It's one of the best atmospheres that you can be in. So I would say Portland, just because of the atmosphere that the fans bring.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Was Portland one of the original MLS teams?
They were not. They were in the old NASL, and they were in the USL, a couple of leagues that you know, the NASL way back in the day was the top tier before the MLS, and then they were in the USL, and then they came on in the early 2000s with the MLS. So just maybe even later than the early 2000s, maybe in the 2010-ish, or maybe a little bit before that. But yeah, they were around. Some of the other, you know, the other atmospheres, there's some great ones, like Austin has a great following. Vancouver has a good following. Seattle has a great atmosphere where the fans chant back and forth with each other, kind of like they do at Mizzou football games. There's some incredible atmospheres. The Minnesota one is interesting. Minnesota has a crowd that sits behind the one goal, and they call it the Wonder Wall. And when they win the game, they sing the Oasis song, Wonderwall.
Yes. We were just talking about this yesterday.
We talked about that yesterday because I said that's really the worst song of all time. And one of our engineers said, well, then you don't want to go to a soccer game in Minnesota because they sing that song. I think it's a horrible song.
And here's how it started. So there's a guy up there that was he used to coach for me in a youth program years and years ago. He was the assistant coach for a team in the very beginning, and somehow they won this game where they got dominated. This is in the early years. They got dominated, and he walked into the locker room and started singing Wonderwall to the players, and the locker room broke out into Wonderwall, and somehow it made it out to the bars and the supporters group, and then next thing you know, that's their theme song, if you will. It's a Wonderwall. That's how they stamp every game when they get shut up.
It's kind of like what happened with Gloria and the Blues, I guess.
Yeah,
but similar. Wonderwall is a little bit more of, it's not a downer, it's just a little bit slower. It doesn't have the energy that Gloria has.
It's a sing-along, though.
It's a sing-along, and it's at the end of the game. So they're bringing themselves down from the excitement. Let's just put it that way.
I will say there is that, because I will say I talked to Ryan O'Reilly years ago when he was with the Blues, and when you're in the World Championships, he was playing for Team Canada. A lot of NHLers will take part in the World Championships. And for their goal celebration song for Team Canada, they thought it would be hilarious to pick Careless Whisper. Michael song.
Yeah, that was JJ. That was JJ Redick's walk-up song. So it's not very original.
Was it?
JJ? Yes.
Well, I didn't even know that, but they picked it and they would play. And I guess this
not
might
JJ
have been
JJ Redick. But anyway, go. But
I don't care. I don't care, Ronch. Anyway, it was like maybe 2017 that they would. That I think it was the 2017 World Championships. It was Team Canada's goal celebration song, and then the tournament asked them to pick a different song because they'd said it didn't have enough energy. But can you imagine scoring and then the saxophone plays? Man,
the name by the way is Josh Redick. He was a baseball player for the Oakland A's, and Careless Whisper was his walk-up.
I'm sure that's who they were thinking of.
Well, he did it. He did it a decade ago. So better, stolen.
This was also a decade ago. Yeah,
it's better than having it for Tyler Redick, the NASCAR driver.
Well, yeah, you don't get a walk-up song.
I don't know. NASCAR. Can you imagine driving around in a NASCAR to Careless Whisper? Whoa, the ladies. So, ladies, watch out.
Dale, Detroit is getting an MLS team. They just announced they've had a soccer club, but I suppose it's getting promoted to MLS because they are building a brand new stadium in the neighborhood called Corktown, which is a cool part of town, and there's still areas for development there. When this happens, when you see the league expand, when you see a new stadium get built, or like the Chicago Fire, they're going to get a new stadium mm-hmm. built right downtown. What does that do for the league overall?
Yeah, it's a big step for the league. Every time that you can expand your footprint and create the sort of stability that a stadium in a major city like that means, a soccer-specific stadium at that, it just means that you're going to have a team in that stadium for a long time. I mean, you're not going to build a stadium, as much as it costs, obviously, and the commitment, and then move a team out of that area. So you can count on that team being a part of the league for years and decades to come because of the commitment that it made to be there. And it's just a focal point for soccer fans to come and gather for games, just like the Enterprise Center is for the hockey team. It's the same with Energizer Park and all the other soccer-specific stadiums around the country. It's a big win for the league.
And MLS is pretty adamant that they want stadiums to be built within the city and not in suburbs. That was the thing here. They wanted Energizer Park, or whatever it was going to be called when they were proposing it. They wanted mm-hmm. it to be done right downtown. That's just a league-wide thing.
And I think a big part of that is to attract the supporters culture that's out there and the demographic of those young professionals that want to be a part of that culture and that supporters section to support the team. They know that they've got fans in for life. So it's important to have them in the city, because that's where, you know, across the country, when we travel and we go to Austin and we go to, you know, Portland or LA or, you know, some of the places that we're able to travel to, San Jose, those stadiums downtown have a big population that lives right around the stadium. People are walking to the games. They're taking public transportation to the games because it's all downtown.
Dale, focusing on city for a second here, the city midfielder, Chris Durkin, had a rough start, inconsistent start to the season, just with injuries. But now it looks like he may come back Saturday.
Yeah. So Chris played with City 2 last weekend. I think he got 60 minutes in. So he's coming back and you know, had a good game with the second team, getting himself some minutes and sharpening up. So bringing him back into the team is the big one. He's, you know, for those that know him, he's a hardworking, ball-winning type midfield player, and he helps guys like Edward Leuven, who's more creative and more of a constructor of attacks and building of attacking moments. Chris does a lot of the grunt work around him so that Edward can move forward and play forward. So a big addition. Chris will help us a lot this weekend.
Yeah, City here, we're in the middle of August. We are smack dab in the middle of August. It is the 15th right now. There's still quite a bit of time here left to go. What can they accomplish from now through the end of the season, which we know is, it's not going to be a playoff season.
Sure.
So so what can you do here?
I would say, what happened the other night, actually the last two games, Minnesota was not a poor performance despite the fact that we lost late in the game. The first 60 minutes or so was good. It was a good performance against one of the better teams in the league. Then the win against Nashville was against even a better team in the league, and for the first 75 minutes, we were dominant. So let's see if we can put a third one together, put a third good game together. Maybe it lasts 90 minutes. Maybe we can get a result and get two wins back-to-back. Then we start talking a little bit about just carrying some momentum into the offseason. So a huge, huge result versus Nashville, and a win here just allows you to build some momentum. And let's just go game to game. I mean, it's hard to only look at where we are in the table and what does the end of the season mean. But let's get the crowd back. Let's have good performances game in and game out, so people are again enjoying themselves at the game, not just because of the stadium and everybody coming together, but also because of the performance.
It is still a fun time to go to City games, even if it's not looking right, which it hasn't for a while. There are still, what, 3-4 home games left to go this season?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, four. I don't know off the top of my head, but I would say I think there's 4. And the atmosphere the other day when the guys were playing well, it flipped completely. It was exactly where it felt like it was in year 1 and 2 when the team was highly competitive and winning games. It was an awesome atmosphere. It doesn't take much, just a couple of results.
City on the road this weekend, and then next weekend they'll be back home on the 30th against Houston, and then that'll be the first of 4 remaining home games for the 2025 season. Dale Schilly, good to talk to you. Thanks for visiting with us again on a Friday.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Dale is the City SC Academy Director, and you can hear him on the call with Joey Zanaboni on Y98. Again, that game tomorrow in Chicago, they will take on the Fire. It is a 7:30 start time. And again, listen on Y98. It's KMOX.
Now, what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ronj, we were talking about Alaska and how everyone is paying attention to what's going on there, where President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are holding a summit today. Well, would you like some fun facts about Anchorage?
I love fun facts.
Okay. Anchorage is massive. The municipality of Anchorage is 1,961 square miles, a.k.a. larger than the state of Rhode Island.
Is that right?
Yeah, Anchorage is larger than the state of Rhode Island. Anchorage is further north than Oslo, Stockholm, and St. Petersburg. Anchorage gets 22 hours of daylight in the summer.
Yeah.
It's a lot of daylight.
That's way too much daylight.
And lastly, in 2012, Anchorage was named the worst-dressed city in the United States, which is not really fair. That's not a real city. I shouldn't say it's not a real city.
What are they wearing, pelts?
It says the outdoors-loving Anchorage was named the worst-dressed city in the U.S.
Well,
by Travel and Leisure magazine. However, that was before Carhartt was cool.
Carhartt is kind of cool now.
I don't think people in Alaska are dressing for, like, hey, what would Miranda Priestly... Is that the lady in The Devil's Wear Prada? The Devil Wears Prada?
I have not seen it. I don't know.
Miranda Priestly?
I don't know.
What would the Vogue lady think? I don't think that's not what they're assuming in Anchorage. They've got bigger things to worry about, like bears.
Bears.
Yeah.
Polar bears are the meanest.
Bears.
They're the ones you have to worry.
You know what you can't do in stilettos?
Run from a polar bear.
That's exactly right.
Right. Well, Amy, I know what we're going to do with Glover when he dies. So,
is it the Osama bin Laden burial?
It's not the Osama. No, we're not going to dump him in the ocean.
Well, no, but it's the greenest.
Yeah, we're going to take him on.
They put you in
a
burlap bag. They dump you in the ocean.
I know.
And then the marine life can eat you. I think that is how we should all be buried.
Yeah, we'll all take a ride out on the Enterprise and they'll dump him into the ocean. No. Angelica Radevsky, a woman from West Virginia, her husband died suddenly at the age of 55 recently. So what she has done is she had a mortician remove one of the tattoos from his body.
No, Ron, do not say it.
And it is now framed as a keepsake that they put on the wall. It was his favorite tattoo. He has more than 70 or had more than 70 tattoos
his
body.
I have to not think about this because I this is a new thing since I turned 40 is I throw up easily.
Yeah, so they had the mortician remove his favorite tattoo.
What does that mean?
Which was a Pittsburgh Steelers tattoo.
Okay.
It's a Steelers helmet.
It's not even special.
It's a Steelers helmet, but it's got a skull inside the helmet with a Steelers logo and helmet on the side.
What does that mean? What does remove mean?
Taking the skin off.
Like Hannibal Lecter.
The mortician carefully removed the skin.
No, you can't.
Placed it in a special preservation kit. And they gave it to an Ohio company. It's called Save My Ink Forever. And then they sent it off before TJ's body was cremated. So there's a photo of it.
Don't show me.
Well, it's just it looks nice. You wouldn't know that it's skin. It doesn't look like skin. It kind of looks like paper. But it's in a frame. It's in a nice frame, and they put it on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. The preservation process took around 90 days. When the company returned the framed tattoo encased in glass, the moment was overwhelming, Angelica said.
It's so gross. Angelica, you have issues. I don't want to be rude, but it's like borders on evil in a weird way.
Now, if you zoom in, hold on.
No, don't even.
Hold on. If you zoom into the photo of it, like you could see the pores. You could see the pores on the skin.
You need to stop. I mean, unless you want to do the next segment by yourself because I'm ill.
I didn't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I'm just the messenger. Don't be upset with me. Let's talk to Dave. When Glover gets in the office, let's talk to him and see if he's down for this. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Join the show. One more hour to go before the Gas House Gang.
I regret joining the show.
One more hour before the Gas House Gang, which comes up at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.